It's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5.
Welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. Hope everybody's doing well. Preds Insiders brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. An eventful past week and a half or so for the Nashville Predators. They get their man in their top six forward, Nino Niederreiter, signing a two-year, $8 million contract with the Predators, $4 million per year on the annual average value. And we thought maybe they weren't done after that. Matthew Tkachuk, the rumors were out there. They were swirling about. Could the Predators find their way to land Matthew Tkachuk as well? And it did not work out that way. Matthew Tkachuk ultimately going to the Florida Panthers, signing an eight-year extension along with it. Jonathan Huberdeau coming back the other way from Florida to Calgary. Also, Mackenzie Weegar, a prospect and a first-round pick conditionally in 2025 as well. So a pretty hefty price the Florida Panthers were willing to pay for Matthew Tkachuk. And some reporting that has been done since then from Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic and others have basically uncovered that it looks like that final list, that short list of teams that Matthew Tkachuk threw out there, had Florida on it, obviously. St. Louis was on it as well, and Carolina, which I think took some people by surprise, but apparently the Nashville Predators not on that list. David Poile confirmed that as well over this past weekend at a Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame banquet as well. So Matthew Tkachuk not to be for the Predators, but they do get Nino Niederreiter, and that, I think, is the last big move of the offseason. Now, there's still the Yakov Trenin situation to figure out that's out there. You know, his arbitration hearing is a little bit less than a week away now. So if you're the Predators, you've got some time to still come to an agreement with him in terms of if you want it to be a multi-year deal and or if you find a price in the 1 or 2 year range that works for you, that you avoid arbitration. But if not, it'll be a 1 or 2 year deal with Yakov Trenin after the arbiter awards him whatever salary that will be. I will say this, if at all possible, it's usually a good idea to avoid the arbitration process. It's just not really a pleasant experience. I remember when Shea Weber went through it, Rocco Grimaldi went through it here with the Predators as well. And, you know, it's not personal. That's what they tell you heading into the hearing. It's about basically your job as a player and your representatives are to argue why you should make as much money as you can. And the job of the team in those type of hearings is to argue why you should not make any money whatsoever and to kind of downplay what you've done there. So oftentimes it ends up being a pretty unpleasant experience for the player and the club as well. So we'll see if Yakov Trenin and the Predators are able to avoid that. But the big question, let's say this is it, and the Predators are done this offseason. You've got Ryan McDonagh. You've got, obviously, Philip Forsberg re-signed. You've got Nino Niederreiter in the fold now in the top six. Are the Predators better? That is the big question that's out there. And if so, how much better are they? Are they a threat in the Western Conference? Are they a team that, once the playoffs come around, can compete for a Stanley Cup? How much better do we feel like the Predators have gotten this offseason? I talked with Willie Donick about that from Chase, Willie, and D-Mace earlier this week. Here was that conversation with Willie Donick. Willie, that kind of leads right into what I wanted to talk to you about. You've got Niederreiter that's now in the fold. Obviously, the trade for McDonagh. You've re-signed Philip Forsberg, who, by the way, it looked like he had a pretty interesting wedding over the weekend. It looked like he was having some fun out there.
The picture of him at the turntable with the DJ, that was with the hat on, that was good. We're going to have to ask Phil about that.
Looks like,
I think he'll have some fun stories about that.
Looks like he had a good old time at his wedding over the weekend. Congratulations to the Forsberg. But with everything in the fold this offseason so far, you've got, according to Cap Friendly, roughly $4 million worth of cap space. Now, you still have the Yakov Trenin situation to take care of as well. So there's not a whole lot of money to work with right now as the roster is currently constructed. And not just David Poile, but a lot of GMs like to enter into the season not directly against the cap. Leave yourself a little bit of breathing room heading into the season. So honestly, Willie, I kind of feel like this is it, and this is their team heading into the offseason. Obviously, there could be a trade that we don't see coming right now, but I guess I would be surprised if there's another free agent that gets added at this point. I know a lot of people are still asking about Phil Kessel, who's out there and who I think will be cheap on a one-year deal. I'm just not sure with Niederreiter coming in that he would fit into their lineup, you know, on paper right now as it stands.
I'm in full agreement. I think we just realized over the summer how important keeping some salary cap flexibility can be.
Yep.
The fact that they kept that space allowed them to get Ryan McDonagh and still have enough in the budget to get Nino Niederreiter. That was the one, you know, because of the Tkachuk thing, I don't think we really spend as much time on Nino Niederreiter, who I think a lot of people thought was a good fit from the start. I just never thought he would sign a two-year, $4 million per year deal. I think Niederreiter, number one, I think he got a phone call from Roman Josi. There were some reports that surfaced. I saw Alex Dory actually, I think, uncovered it. It was a French thing. I don't know if Alex speaks
French. I hope it's
French.
A direct translation, because in that quote, Roman Josi talked about going to talk with his leaders, and I hope that's the type of language that he used.
No, he translated it.
I'm going
it.
To discuss this with my leaders, and I'll be right back to you.
He translated it on Google Translate, and actually Pekka just got named the U-20 Finnish coach.
I saw that.
And I translated that so I could read it.
Oh.
So it just kind of says, hey, like, he's going to be doing this. He did this, you know, with the Predators, and it was a really short article. But, hey, it does work.
But I think the gist, this is funny, I'm thinking of the movie Lost in Translation, which some things do get lost, right, when you're trying to directly translate. But I got the sense that Roman kind of got a sense from Nino Niederreiter, look, the market may not be what you want
right
now. The salary cap isn't going up for the next 2 years, but you still are young enough and productive enough that you could take another kick at it when the salary cap goes up. And in the meantime, how about playing for us? What would you take? So we'll have to ask Roman about it at some point, maybe when he's in the mood to talk about it. But, and I thought it was a brilliant thing to kind of say, look, this guy's sitting here. This guy is actually a really good fit for how the team plays. I think we all kind of saw that.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought he'd get a 4 or 5 year deal he made over $5 million last year. So I'm thinking he's not looking to take a pay cut.
No.
But he actually did that. But what was at play here? A, he's on a team that he thinks is a pretty good team. Number two, tax situation. The $4 million here goes further than $4 million and maybe some other places that he was getting offers from. So is it in a two-year deal? Not all bad.
Well, and you look at the situation, too, of you're him, you're coming into play. I would presume definitely going to be a top-six role, probably some power play time as well on the second power play unit. And you play 2 years, the cap goes up, and you could take another kick at the can. It'll be 32 at that time heading into that season, but you could still make some good money on a 2-3 year deal at that age. So I think contractually, I love it from the Predators' standpoint. I think it makes a lot of sense from Niederreiter's standpoint, too. If you're not going to get that 5-6 year deal, why would you go sign a 3 year deal and be 1 year older after that? Just take another kick at the can when free agency comes next time around.
It makes a lot of sense. And on the other part of it, it leaves you $4 million. We know some of that's going to be earmarked for Yakov Trenin. And think of it this way. Let's take Phil Kessel as an example. Phil Kessel, you're probably not going to sign and put him on the fourth line.
Right?
You would put him on a top six role. That's where he's been his whole career. If you did that, that effectively blocks Philip Tomasino, Eli Tolvanen, whoever is the young player that will end up there. I think in a perfect world, we all think Tomasino might be. You'd love for him to jump up and take that. He had a really good last year. Good rookie season where you think, hey, there's more there.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to completely give up on Tolvanen. He could have a bounce back. But if you have a veteran there, there's no place for them to go.
Right.
So you're going to let it play out. And, as you know, you get into the winter months, December, January, things go a certain way. You find out more about Tomasino, but you then could address that. You could address that spot with the trade down there, and you would still have some money to do that.
Yeah, and that's why I thought the AAV coming in at $4 million was really good for him. You've got McDonagh in addition to that, too. I said this morning. Like, to me, there's no way that you can argue the team isn't better. Like, they are, to me,
on
paper.
Significantly
better on paper. Now, then there's the question of, is Duchesne going to approach what he did last year offensively? Same thing for Forsberg. You know, even Yossi to a certain extent. I think he's going to be great next year. Is he going to be 96 points great? I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see on that front. So I can see a scenario where production goes down a little bit from those guys. I also think, and this is something that people I don't think are talking enough about, they have gotten way better defensively with Ryan McDonagh coming in. And everybody talks about the top six, and yes, the Predators needed to address that, and they did heading into this offseason. They were not good defensively to end last year, and I think McDonagh coming in really stabilizes a lot of things back there. If they keep this as is right now, and Fabro's a part of it, and Carrier's a part of it, you know, I like that makeup on D a whole lot better right now than I did with the way they ended last year.
I think that they were, even when things were going really well in January and on into February, I think that there was some concern about, and it's nothing against the players with Alex Carrier or with Dante Fabro, but the youth and the size. I think they were thinking, you know, another experienced guy that's got a little size that can play against weight would be what they need. And I think Lauzon will help them. That's one of the reasons they acquired him. Now you've got him, you know, maybe in the role that he should have right now, and hopefully he grows over time. And the same could be said about Fabro and Carrier, that now you can kind of maybe put them in a more advantageous position. So top to bottom, it's like when you add that really good pitcher to a rotation that was already pretty good, but now it slots everybody in almost a better position. I think that's a good thing. And I'm totally with you on the goals. If you're coming in saying, well, Duchesne will get another 40 and Forsberg will get another 40 and everything will go, that's never how it works, right? Nope. You expect them to regress a little bit. But also you're looking at the second line last year. It was scary how little production they got. It was a wonder. The first line had to be that good to make up for the fact that 5-on-5, they weren't getting much at all the whole season from the second line.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where maybe you could make it up. And at the end of the season, hopefully you have roughly the same amount of goals, and maybe you give up a few less.
Let's real quickly get to Bob's second part of that call. Do you think Connor Ingram has a role on this team as currently constructed? Because honestly, Willie, I mean, I just look at the contract they gave Lankinen. I don't know why you're paying him $1.5 million if you don't want him to be the backup goalie. So I think it's going to be Lankinen as the backup.
You know, I think we were all a little surprised when they signed Lankinen. But I think, okay, let's just deduce from what the situation. We know Askarov is in the position of first-year pro.
Right.
I should say first-year North American pro, right? He's going to be in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
When they made the decision to re-up Devin Cooley, the other goalie in Milwaukee, who less people know about, I was thinking, ooh, wasn't sure about that.
Yeah.
But he played very well in the playoffs for them. They like him. Then they signed Lankinen. And so we were thinking, could they get him on a two-way deal? Nope, it's a one-way deal. So you can't help but come back to Connor Ingram and say, okay, where does that leave him? Because they have one more goalie than they really have a spot for contractually. And if they really were not thinking about Connor Ingram, then they wouldn't have signed Lankinen or they wouldn't have signed Cooley. So you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, so they've got a situation there. I don't know if they're going to let it play out in camp and where they sort of compete, or they move on from Ingram before that. I don't know, but I do think that's will be a big story in training camp.
So thanks to Willie Donick for joining me for his thoughts on that. I look at the lineup right now, and I came out with this, I think, about as soon as Niederreiter was signed. I've got the lineup looking like this. I've got Forsberg, Granlund, and Duchesne on that first line. They were very successful together last year. I've got Niederreiter starting with Johansson and Tomasino. Now, you know, there's been some argument over that on Twitter and online. You could flip-flop Granlund and Johansson. You could have Johansson up top with Forsberg and Duchesne and Granlund down with Niederreiter. Those two did play together in Minnesota. Now, keep in mind, Johansson also played with Niederreiter in junior hockey as well. So there's some level of familiarity there regardless of the way that you go. Now, in Johansson's case, it's been a long time since they played together. And it's been a long time since he and Granlund played together as well, too. So I think maybe the familiarity part gets blown over, or maybe, you know, overblown a little bit. But still, those are options you have if you're John Hines. I think the top six will be some version of those six players
that I just named out there. Obviously, you feel good about Trennan, Sissons, and Janot on that third line. And then the fourth line is interesting. You still have Ellie Tolvanen out there. You have Zach Sanford, who you signed earlier this offseason. I think he's absolutely going to be a part of the fourth line. There's Cody Glass out there. You know, could Igor Afanasyev make a push in training camp? There's some intriguing options that the Predators could have. Right now, I will go with Tolvanen on the left wing, Cody Glass centering that fourth line, and maybe Zach Sanford on the right wing. So maybe a different-looking fourth line to a certain degree, but that's the fourth line I have now. And then you've got your D-Core, which I feel like those six are pretty much set. You know, Mark Borowiecki, I think, is going to serve as probably the seventh defenseman heading into next season. I think it's a pretty good guy to have as your seventh defenseman. And then maybe based on some matchups, you can throw him in there, and certainly injury as well. But my sixth defenseman that I feel pretty good about as currently constructed with this Predators roster, I think Josi and Carrier will be together. I think it's going to be McDonough, Ekholm on a shutdown pair. And then Lozon, who they just handed a four-year deal to this offseason, and Dante Fabro rounding things out on that third defense pair there as well. So the good news is, if you're the Predators, you've got options, and you've got options on defense. You've got options at forward that you can mix and match. Niederreiter coming in, I think, is a big deal for the top six 5-on-5. I think it's also a pretty big deal for the second power play unit as well. So I think they're a significantly better team now than they were when the offseason began after the Colorado series. How good can they be? That's going to be the question that we're going to have to determine and we're going to have to figure out. I think they're definitely a playoff team. I think that they, at the moment, based on some moves around them in the Western Conference, in their own division, I think they're probably maybe a little bit below St. Louis, but right there with St. Louis and right there with Minnesota, fighting for second, third, fourth, that sort of range in the division. So we'll see how it shakes out once training camp rolls around. We'll keep you updated here on Preds Insiders as well with the Yakov Trennan arbitration situation. Who knows? Maybe David Poile's not done making moves this offseason as well. We'll have you covered every step of the way here on Preds Insiders. As always, Preds Insiders is brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.